Hello and welcome to Second Take episode 44. My name is Billy and we are back with another episode today. It's a very big day. It is officially the start of the NFL season, and I don't mean the official start of like the NFL season in like a league year type of way, because we already know that happened. We had that a while ago with the start of free agency. You know, one of the best days in the world for NFL fans. You know, you have this reinvigorated feeling of kind of the hope, the hopelessness that you lost once you realize your team sucked last year. You know, it went away. It's gone. There's newfound faith and hope kind of in this season coming up. Now, game's finally begun. The Hall of Fame game happening tonight. You're probably listening to this August 4th, I'm guessing, or past that, since I'm recording this very close to the game starting 6 hours away now. So the game is tonight. You probably already know the result. Blah, blah, blah. We're going to talk about it anyways. Don't really care. But this is a huge, huge day for NFL fans, me alike. And today on Second Take, we're going to pretty much talk exclusively about football. Not saying that, you know, there's a lot of other things going on in the world. Lionel Messi, you know, doing really good with Inter Miami, all that soccer stuff. The Saudi Arabian stuff, which I love to talk about. But not going to talk about that today just because, you know, I'd rather that's more of a writing thing. Quick plug, if you want to listen to or if you want to read any articles or stuff about possibly that soccer stuff and other football things, sports in general, you can go on medium.com, search up Second Take, you can see all my articles there. Been doing a lot more work on that than I have lately with the podcast. So, you know, check that out if you're interested in any of that. But anyways, let's just get right into some of this football stuff. Obviously, huge day. I'm super hyped up. I hope you guys are hyped up for all this. But since we haven't recorded in God knows how long, we missed a lot of stuff. And some free agency stuff that has drawn out really just longer than expected has been the DeAndre Hopkins contract, obviously, after he was released by the Cardinals. Cardinals going in a downhill direction with Kyler Murray injured and people thinking that somehow, you know, Kyler is going to be back by midseason. But people still think that the Cardinals are still going to suck with Shane Steichen. Or not Shane Steichen. Jonathan Gannon. Steichen, the coach of the Colts now. Both coming from the Eagles. Kind of mixed up there. With Gannon. But I think they're going to be, you know, they're a decent team. They still got a good wide receiver core with Rondale Moore. And, you know, a decent little team. The Cardinals O-line, bad. D-line, not very good. You know, they've had talent there, but let it go. Hassan Reddick a couple years ago was gone, has now a solidified very, very good edge rusher for the Eagles. And now, you know, J.J. Watt gone, obviously wasn't a huge factor, but still, you know, a veteran presence there and better than what they have there. Not a great team. Not a great team by any means. At all. But, you know, they're going to still have Kyler midseason, and I think you can find far worse teams in the league. I'm pointing to Tampa Bay and other teams like that. And even if the Cardinals were to fall into the, you know, first overall pick, would they really even want to go for a quarterback? Because, you know, we're not talking about the next season's draft, but Marvin Harrison Jr. is right there for the taking. And I'm a big believer in Kyler Murray. He, you know, let me down last season, but was he really set up for success with Cliff Kingsbury being there? I don't think he was head coach material. And I think most people can agree that now he's the quarterback. He's not even offensive coordinator at a college team anymore. He's the QB coach at USC. Caleb Williams, I believe, is a generational prospect. Yes. Yes, he is. But you also have, you know, Drake May there, which I think Drake May might even be better. And I think we'll see that coming up this year in college. You can quote me on it. I think Drake May is going to solidify himself kind of as a little bit better version of Caleb Williams. And everybody's stuck on Caleb Williams because he has had such a good college career and he has the same measurables as Patrick Mahomes and all that. But I think May just makes better reads. I think overall has the same amount of arm strength, you know, not as mobile, but as a pure quarterback, I think May has a lot of skills that, you know, kind of separate him a little bit from Caleb Williams, especially with Williams playing in a system that benefits quarterbacks immensely and Drake May playing in a system that is more focused on kind of runners. You know, what kind of tanked Sam Howell down so much is that Mac Brown, you know, has a system that the coach at UNC, Mac Brown, has a system that really focuses on more so on running backs and less so on you know, pro style passing game. Something that Lincoln Riley, you know, emphasized coming from a, kind of an air raid system at Oklahoma that he ran, now running that at USC against Pac-12 defenses, which, you know, aren't always the best thing, especially compared to ACC defenses, which Drake May goes up against. And if you look at the UNC offense with Sam Howell, when they had Javonte Williams and they had Michael Carter, he was putting up tremendous numbers playing in a system that wasn't a pro style, that was playing a ton of run, and yet somehow he found ways to put up 30 touchdowns a season, still look good. And then obviously had his, I believe, junior redshirt season, where it was more so running, which Howell can do very well. And he showed that a lot, but tanked his stock a little bit down. And I don't think May is going to have that. I think May is a better quarterback than Sam Howell. And I think since, you know, not having that running back talent that they had with Javonte Williams and Michael Carter, not saying that they don't anymore, but UNC's kind of adjusted it more to say, okay, we're getting these blue chip quarterback prospects. We got to, you know, run them a little bit. You saw that in the game against Oregon and Bo Nix that they had the bowl game last season with Drake May. You know, you got to pass the ball a little bit more, But I think he can be a better prospect. And I don't think the Cardinals are really going to be in a position with Kyler, even if they have the top two picks, to draft either one of those guys. And I don't think they would, because why would you invest such a big pick when you already have a quarterback that, if he can stay healthy, and that's the question, right? Can Kyler stay healthy? I think he can eventually. First of all, you got to put a good offensive line in front of him, which they haven't invested enough in. It's always, you know, they have these old offensive linemen that keep getting hurt, and that's not a way to protect your quarterback. And signing guys that are mid-level off the street is not going to be a way to protect your quarterback. Now, training back and selecting Paris Johnson at the request of Kyler Murray, was a good decision. Even if it wasn't at the request of Kyler, they should have made the pick. Knowing the Cardinals, they probably wouldn't have made the pick if Kyler, their quarterback, didn't say it. So if Kyler still has that say in the front office, right, to select a offensive tackle, do we really think that they're going to, you know, have him hurt most of the season? So they're probably going to lose games. You know, I think Colt McCoy, their backup quarterback, they drafted Clayton Tune. I don't think he's going to start immediately. I think it's Colt McCoy who's still in there. I believe he's going to start a couple games. Might win him a couple. Probably not. Tough division. But do we really think that they're going to let a quarterback command that kind of, you know, voice in the front office just to scrap him for another quarterback used with a top pick next year? I mean, I get they are going to have two probably high picks because the Texans pick. But, like, why wouldn't you just keep a good quarterback who hopefully next year can prove he's healthy? And, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. is right there. One of the best, if he can replicate what he's been doing. You know, Ohio State, it's always going to put out good wide receivers, you know, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Michael Thomas, et cetera, et cetera. Jackson Smith and Jigba this past season. He's going to be tremendous. He looks great in training camp. I mean, oh my God. Just mouth. Dude, the route running on that guy is just insane. But back to the point. Like, Kyler, if he can stay healthy, you can put a good offensive line in front of him. He's going to be a good quarterback. You already invested a shit ton of money in him. So just keep him there invest in those two picks. You can go, you know, edge defense maybe on one of those picks, Marvis Harrison Jr. on the other pick, and maybe even invest the other pick, the Texans pick, in possibly getting him another tackle. Protect him on both sides of the lines. Right? Then he has Rondale on the slot. You know, Greg Dortch is still in there, who was proved to be a pretty good wide receiver out there. Putting Marvin Harrison Jr. in at the outside, you can rotate him into the slot as well. He's super versatile. You just set him up for success, and that's going to be a good offense, right? James Conner back at running back. Good bowling ball type of guy. Running backs are expandable, as we'll get into later. Big hot button topic, but I just don't see where the media is trying to spin like this Cardinals season of projecting them. And, you know, this all relies on them having a high pick, which I think they'll have a high pick. I don't think it's going to be number one necessarily. If they do fall into that, though, people are like, okay, they can't resist Caleb Williams. They can't resist Drake May. They can't resist going for another quarterback despite investing so much money, ton of guaranteed cash in Kyler Murray. I mean, what's Kyler's contract, right? It's over 200. Let's just pull up the numbers real quick, right? I think he's somewhere around 200 in his extension. Yeah, so starting this year, he's going to starting in 2024, $37 million, $18 million the following year, $22 million, and then 19, and then 34. That's pays him into his age 31 season. So it's not bad. He's getting out of the contract. You get out of the contract right as he's about to hit kind of his early later years. Mobile quarterbacks tend to not last that long, so that's a good exit point. Plus the mid-years, this is really, it's front-loaded and back-loaded, which is interesting. It's 5 years, $230 million total, so there's a lot there. But in 2024, you're getting it out of the way with $37 million. You still have, after this season, this season you're only paying him $2 million, and then it kicks into the contract extension. So why would you want to get rid of him as soon as it kicks in? Plus, the mid-years are really easy. 2025, 2026, and 2027, you're only paying him 18, 22, and 19. Like, that's not a bad contract. Like, at all. That's super cheap in the middle. The end years are bad. But the middle years are pretty good. And I think they'll look at that and be like, okay, why would we want to get a quarterback that's probably at a comparable level where you can just and have nothing around him, where we can have Kyler build a really good team around him and kind of, you know, go far there. And really, they have only given Kyler, you know, Hopkins, who we'll get to. And, you know, that got them enough, but you need to build a young team core around him. And he hasn't been able to get that with, the former GM. So new GM, new regime coming in. Hopefully they can figure that one out. But I don't get the media spin on it. I think it's more overblown just for getting clicks in the summer, which is most of what the media does now. Sports media, because you got to fill time, and I understand that. But just looking at it, even as a hypothetical, it doesn't work. There's no shot the Cardinals draft Caleb Williams. There's no shot that they draft Drake May. There's no shot that they draft Michael Penix if he plays really good. There's no shot that they draft Bo Nix if he somehow or Quinn Ewers if they just bounce up draft boards. It's not happening. Not with their first round pick, not with their second first round pick of that next year in 2024. It's not happening. Marvin Harrison Jr. probably could happen. If they get the first pick, Marvin Harrison Jr. should be the first overall pick. No matter pretty much, you know, if he has an okay season this year, he's the first overall pick. That guy is an animal. He's insane. Athletic freak. Crazy route runner. barring injuries, he's the first overall pick. He's the first overall pick. Just without a doubt. He is. And Caleb Williams, great quarterback. You know, if a quarterback needy team, you know, the Buccaneers, they look like they'd draft Caleb Williams or Drake May. If they had the number one pick, Caleb Williams, Drake May. If pretty much any other team, you don't need a quarterback. The Cardinals don't need a quarterback. Go for Marvin Harrison Jr. And that's some that was draft talk for next year, I guess, is what that turned into. But let's that was, I didn't even plan to talk about that. Just ranted off on that. It pissed me off because I just don't see that happening. It's just for clicks. And the people that buy into that, oh, the Cardinals are going to Caleb Williams, what the hell are they going to do with Kyler, who's a perfectly good quarterback? I mean, you trade him for picks, sure. And then you could get even more, you know, young guys in there. But I think just standing pat with what you got is probably the best move than to take a risk. And I don't think it's a big risk with Caleb Williams or Drake May, but stick with what you got. You know, they're clearly, from what they've done in this year's draft, are building to, you know, they're still investing in Kyler. And there's no reason why you'd invest in Kyler on a season that you know you're not going to do anything if you're not going to carry him into the next year. It just makes no sense. It's idiotic. It's stupid. And they've done that before with Josh Rosen, but I'd like to believe they've learned from their mistakes. And Kyler Murray is not Josh Rosen. He's a good quarterback. He's proven that before, and he'll prove it again. He just needs to stay healthy. That's kind of where it's at. So we'll go to DeAndre Hopkins. The sweepstakes between Hopkins, he was waiting for a while. He visited with the Titans. They gave him this whole big, you know, country music thing. I think he went to go see Tim McGraw or something. I don't know. They gave him a limo. They gave him everything. You know, oh, come to the Titans. Come to the Titans. The Titans are really awesome. We go 9-8 a lot, but, oh, we don't have a quarterback. Ryan Tannehill. Oh, he can only do good on play action, but now he's not good anymore because he's 34. We benched him for Josh Dobbs last year. Our young quarterback was drafted in the third round. His name is Malik Willis, and he can't throw to anybody because he's not accurate. He has a strong arm, but he's not accurate. He wasn't good in college either. Oh, let's see. Look at that. Will Levis. We just drafted him, second round, 33rd overall. But is he ready to start anytime soon? God, no, he's not. The Titans, I don't understand it. I don't understand the decision from DeAndre Hopkins. Because, honestly, that's what the Titans' pitch probably is. We're going to run, not run DeAndre Hopkins. We're going to run Derrick Henry into the ground again. Which, like, isn't sustainable. Derrick Henry is a unicorn of a running back, right? But he's going on 30 this year. And for a physical runner like that, his body's going to start breaking down sooner or later. And I understand this past season, ran for 1,500. 13 touchdowns. But, like, you can't, they run him at such an unsustainable rate. He's had over 300 carries for three of his seven seasons. And the other ones, he didn't have that rate because, you know, he was a rookie or injuries and things like that. So, you know, great player, but just not what you want. And what do you have around DeAndre Hopkins? You don't have anybody that can pass him the ball. You can tell me Ryan Tannehill right now, you know, if he somehow rebounds, but he's on the decline. Tannehill's 34 or something. 35. He's a 35-year-old quarterback. Last season has 65.2% completion percentage, which was down from last year at 67.2. So, you know, not the best, you know, it's a decent completion percentage, yes, but he's not doing much. 2,500 yards, missed some games, 13 touchdowns to 6 interceptions, not efficient, you know, touchdown to interception ratio. Wasn't getting them downfield very much at all. And ever, you know, 2020 was his good season. He didn't even eclipse 4,000 yards. He didn't eclipse 4,000 yards. But 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions in 2020. That was his really good season. And ever since, it's just kind of been meh. He's okay. And 35 quarterbacks that aren't very good start to decline, and that's what Ryan Tannehill is. And I think it's kind of been proven that the Titans know that he's not going to do very much better because, I mean, one, it on the paper, it has gone down. And two, they drafted quarterbacks back-to-back years in, you know, not high rounds, but relatively high, like 33rd overall pick. Second round or 32nd because the Dolphins, you know, lost the pick for tampering, but second round pick for Will Levis and a third round pick for Malik Willis. And neither of those quarterbacks seem like they're going to work out very much. You can, you know, go look at my articles. Don't like Will Levis, super inefficient, really, really inefficient quarterback at Kentucky, played bad against bad teams. Arm strength is good and you can mold that into something, but I mean, there's guys out there that had better arm strength that went in later rounds. So I don't get the Will Levis love very much. And I don't think that he's going to develop into any type of quarterback that, you know, Hopkins can really go for. That Hopkins can develop with. And I think by the time that Will Levis even turns into a good quarterback, if it, you know, hypothetically, if he is able to turn into a good quarterback, well, Hopkins isn't going to be there to enjoy that because Hopkins is going on 30. Well, Levis will probably need around two and a half years to develop. If we're going off the Josh Allen track, which is what he would be on, you know, if we're hoping for a decent quarterback here, 2-3 years, Hopkins would be his year, you know, 32, 33, going into pretty far down into his career. And, you know, we've seen a dip in speed and all that stuff from Hopkins. Production's certainly still been there, but, you know, the body is, especially with injuries, going a little bit down. So, you know, 3 years from now, do you expect DeAndre Hopkins to be going 1,400 yards, 10 touchdowns, jump balls all over the place, kind of, you know, like in good route running? No, we don't expect that. So he's not for Malik Willis, certainly. If you know my opinion on Malik Willis, dude can't play. Will Levis can't play right now, maybe in the future, but Hopkins isn't going to be there. When and his contract's up too, and I don't think he's going to make it in Tennessee past that, you know, 2 year span. So he's not for Will Levis either. So he's for Ryan Tannehill, who is declining, probably going to get benched at some point in the season, like he did last year. And what purpose does he serve? I think it's mostly just to get asses in seats because, I mean, they don't have any, you know, they ruined Robert Woods last year. He didn't do anything. Nick Aquino Westbrook, I believe, is still there. He's a wide receiver for them. Treylon Burks didn't do much of anything. Partly, I think, because he didn't really have a quarterback there. I like Treylon Burks, but he's going to have to, you know, step it up a little bit this year to see if they have anything. So pretty much what you got there is Treylon Burks and DeAndre Hopkins. And, you know, a good defense. Mike Vrabel keeps him in order, yes. A good run game with Derrick Henry if he can still sustain himself into an age 30 season, which is when the running backs, you know, wheels fall off. And we'll see if he can do that. But I just don't believe that it was a good decision for DeAndre Hopkins. And I know he hates this, and I know a lot of Titans fans will hate me saying this, but DeAndre Hopkins does not care about winning football games. He doesn't. Why do you say, like, why do you, why do I say that? Well, he's never outright said that, right? But you don't choose to, you cannot right now tell me that the Titans are going to win the Super Bowl. You can't. There's way too many good teams out there. The Titans are not in contention with any of them. Even when they were good, when they had the best record in the AFC, they still lost in the divisional round. That's when they had a good team, right? They had AJ Brown, who's a good wide receiver, on the level of DeAndre Hopkins, and they had Derrick Henry. Plus, they had a better defense, good secondary, and Ryan Tannehill was playing 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions level of football, right? Now you have rundown Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, who could be a coin flip this year as to if he's still going to be good. You know, he's going to be good, but, you know, elite level. And then you have Hopkins, who he could even be a coin flip going into a new system and, you know, turning 30 now. You don't look at the Titans as a Super Bowl team. Now, the other team that did make him an offer publicly is the New England Patriots. The Patriots aren't a team that is going to win the Super Bowl this year either. I think personally, you know, there might be a little bias there from me, but I do think that they have a better chance at competing this year for a playoff spot. But, like, Hopkins, either way, he's not making a Super Bowl in the next 2 years with those teams. But at least with the Patriots, you know, he would have had a young quarterback who has proven himself in his rookie year, not as much before after that, but now has a really good offensive coordinator, former coach who he's connected with. He would have knew the system, Hopkins, and, you know, a decent wide receiver core, you know, more than just one other guy in Treylon Burks. They have Kendrick Bourne, Tyquan Thornton's on the come up. DeMario Douglas has been really good in camp. He's looking good. Devontae Parker just signed a really good extension. He's another jump ball guy on the outside, so you put him on a number two instead of a number one. Now you have Hopkins on one side, him on the other, and you got Juju Smith-Schuster in the middle. The Patriots get a lot of crap for the wide receiver core, and I think they need a lot more. That's why they need to sign Hopkins. One of the big problems is they need a number one wide receiver, and they don't have it. But at least they have the number two, number three, the number four, and the number five, right? That could all, you know, be in the range of a number three. The Titans have a number one in Hopkins now and a number two in Treylon Burks. Maybe a number two. We don't know yet. Then they have a five, a six, a seven, an eight, and a practice squad player and a few guys that shouldn't be in the league. It doesn't make sense. Patriots make more sense. And let's go to just the contract overall here. So Hopkins signed a 2-year, $26 million contract to Tennessee. He had a 9.815 signing bonus and 10.98 guaranteed. 10.98 guaranteed isn't a lot of money. So it's like kind of confusing as to why his market was so low, but and it's kind of, it's greedy from him that he went just strictly for the money, because the Patriots, what they do, and it's really annoying, and I think Bill should just give people the guaranteed money. He could have gave the whole contract guaranteed. I don't care. The Patriots got a ton of cap space that they don't use. They gave him an incentive-laden contract without the 10.98 guaranteed. So they were basically like, okay, you got to put up 1,000 yards, you can get $2 million extra dollars, blah, 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 blah. But they gave him the same amount. So it was a 2-year 26, reportedly, from the Patriots, but it was just more incentive-laden. There's a better chance with the Patriots to win. But he went with the guarantees, which wasn't even that much guaranteed. So you can see where Hopkins and to play on a worse team with the worst wide receiver core, worst quarterback, I mean, worst defense. You can just see where his head's at. And, you know, I lost respect for him. And I love for him to talk about it more, to try to, you know, defend his point, because I don't really get it at this point. I don't get what he's trying to say, but that's where DeAndre Hopkins stands and why I think he kind of is just in it for the money. We'll be right back after this quick break with another talking about running backs and Dalvin Cook. And we are back to talk about Dalvin Cook. So Dalvin Cook right now is still in free agency somehow, although being like a really good back the past few years, got released from the Vikings because of a contract dispute, obviously. But has really, you know, has had offers and visits, but surprisingly hasn't signed anything. So recently he just had a visit with the New York Jets, and reports coming out of that was, okay, Cook is definitely coming out of this with a contract. The Jets want to keep him in the building. They have made him an aggressive offer. We haven't heard what the offer was, but it was the expectation that Cook was really, really wanting to go to the Jets. And, you know, there were the reports out of that, and Cook even himself said that it was very likely that he probably would end up being a New York Jet, and it's yet to happen. It's pretty much been like a week since that's happened, and Dalvin Cook is still not a New York Jet. So what the hell is up with that? Well, he still has other options on the table. There was reports that, you know, he might take a visit with the Patriots. That is yet to happen. They've had other running backs in the building, but no Dalvin Cook, and I don't think the Patriots are really the people that would be, you know, someone that would give their services or would, you know, want Dalvin Cook's services on their team with how much he'd demand in a contract. I think Jets are a team that have pretty much gone out of their way to spend money with Aaron Rodgers coming in. So that makes a lot more sense, especially with Michael Carter. When he was asked to come in for Breece Hall last year, they traded for James Robinson, and with Michael Carter getting increased snaps, struggled a little bit. I'm a big Michael Carter guy. I think he's a good running back, but struggled last year, and I'm not really sure if he can be a pure number one guy, especially with in college. He was splitting time with Javonte Williams in a running back by committee kind of backfield. That's really what he's suited, you know, with, and, you know, Zonovan Knight's there, but Jets want to go all in, especially with a tough schedule, tough division coming in. It would make a lot of sense for Dalvin Cook to sign there, especially because I think the Jets do have the highest offer. And even if they don't, I think he's still signed with them. We're in training camp. You're not going to get a lot of money. People have already kind of exhausted their cap space from free agency. It's just the way it is. And running backs, when you're past 27, you're not going to get paid anymore. That's just how it is. And it makes sense in the NFL landscape. When is the last time a running back has been paid, you know, a legit amount of money and has been the leading rusher on a Super Bowl team? It hasn't happened in a long time. A long time. And I want to get into, you know, why this has happened. And obviously, the answer is the passing game. The passing game has been expanded. The running game doesn't matter as much. Now, you need the running game, obviously, to open up the passing game. That's how it works. That's football. That's simple football. But the offensive line, and I think this is what people don't really realize. If you have a good offensive line, which offensive lines are paid well, if you have a good offensive line, they're going to open up a gap. And that gap can be run through by pretty much anybody. Now, good running backs come into play when the play breaks down, which happens a decent amount of time. But if you have a good offensive line, it doesn't happen a lot. And that's what the Patriots have. That's what the Chiefs have, right? They can run pretty much anybody they want. And they do run anybody they want. They bring in cheap guys, cheap vets, or they draft a running back every 4 years. Patriots have done it since Corey Dillon, pretty much. They've just drafted a guy, run him for 4 years, got rid of him. New rookie contract, please. Boom. And that's resulted in a lot of Super Bowls. But the last time, the highest, pretty much the notable paid running back was Marshawn Lynch in 2013. It seems recent for me and for a lot of people, Marshawn Lynch, you know, being an elite running back, but that was 10 years ago. game's a lot different. And I mean a lot different than what it used to be. To win a Super Bowl nowadays, you pay wide receivers. You pay defensive backs. You pay your quarterback, for sure. You pay offensive linemen. And you pay your defensive line. That's what you pay. You don't pay your running backs. Running backs break down early. They ask for a ton of money if they're really, really good. Which isn't sustainable, because then you're going to not be able to pay your offensive line, which in turn makes those running backs worthless. And especially because nowadays, the only running backs that get paid, what do they do? Okay, Christian McCaffrey got paid. He also catches the ball. Alvin Kamara also got paid. What does he do? Catch the ball. You need to have receiver abilities if you want to get paid. If running backs want to get paid $15 million, which is about the cap, that's about that's the Christian McCaffrey level, that's what you're going to get from now on. And if you can prove you can sustain yourself past age 30, and you can be also Bijan Robinson, they're going to use him a lot in the slot. People are like, okay, why did they draft the running back so high? Because he can catch the ball. He can run routes. He's not just a running back. He's a slot receiver as well. He's 2-1. They're not going to run him into the ground either. They got Cordell Patterson and they got Tyler Allgeier, who is a pure runner, who is the guy they're going to run into the ground and replace after 4 years. Bijan's going to stay there for a while because he can catch the ball. You need versatility nowadays. And that's something Dalvin Cook needs to adapt to. That's something Jonathan Taylor, big one, that we'll get to in a second. Jonathan Taylor has a big contract problem, and he wants to get paid a lot of money, and it's not going to happen because he is kind of as good of a running back as he is, fits a mold that isn't a NFL mold anymore. It's just simply not what people look for in a running back anymore. It's how it is. You need to catch the ball. If you want to get paid, you need to catch the ball or be Derrick Henry, which is insane. Like, just huge, can run through everybody, doesn't need offensive line, just freak of nature, which, as far as I know, him and like Christian Okoye are like the only ones in like the history of the NFL to be like that. So there's not a lot of room for you guys. And it's unfortunate. I love running backs. I love the running back position. Damian Harris was one of my favorite players on the Patriots. But when he left for a $2 million contract in Buffalo, I understood it, right? I wasn't, you know, it sucks to see one of your favorite players go, but it's a good football move. I understand that. And I'm more than happy to let him go hit the free market. Because one, after a 4-year contract, he was already falling down. He was already getting injured, right? The wheels were already kind of falling off for him. And two, I'm not going to pay him if he does well after that 1-year contract, right? Because he's going into, I want to say he's probably around 27 as well. Like, I'm not going to pay you on a 4-year contract, $15 million, and then have my, first of all, you fall down, you get injured a bunch without pass catching ability, which makes the offense one dimensional. And then have that money block up spaces where I could pay for an offensive lineman to protect my quarterback, who's now all of a sudden, you know, out 6 weeks out of the year because he got blindsided because I don't have a good left tackle because I paid my running back. I mean, it's a position that is just kind of, and it sucks to say it, but it's worthless. Elite running backs don't win football games. They win regular season. I mean, they win regular season games, sure, against bad teams. You know, Saquon Barkley can win you games if you're the Giants. But if you pay Saquon Barkley and you put him on the Kansas City Chiefs,
put him on a long-term contract, let's say 5 years, $15 million. Now all of a sudden, your left guard's gone. Joe Tooney's gone. Okay, now a gap is gone. And Mahomes is out a couple weeks out of the year. And Saquon is now hurt and old and is averaging 3.8 yards per carry 3 years into the contract. It's just not smart. It's not good business. And they're going to keep doing it. And there's really no way. I mean, you could remove the franchise tag, sure. But even if you do remove the franchise tag, I still think that NFL owners are going to just redraft that for 4 years. Because there's a big pool of running backs. And if you got a good offensive line, you can just keep redrafting. Get guys for $800,000 a year for 4 years. You paid them, what, $3.2 million their whole contract? Let them go, reset. You can just keep doing that on and on and on and on and on. And it's not going to change. Even with, you're basically getting rid of the franchise tag, you're ridding yourself of however much it is, $12 million for a one-year contract. I think getting rid of the franchise tag, which is what they want to do to get them long-term contracts, isn't going to get them long-term contracts, most of the guys at least. Maybe the big pass-catching guys. But it's just going to shoot you in the foot. You're losing $12 million. You're going to get the Damian Harris $2 million contract. And I'm interested to see what Dalvin Cook gets here, because he is going to get signed at some point. But the like $7 million asking price that he's asking for is ridiculous, especially when he's on the decline. If we look at Cook really quick, he had 4.4 yards per carry this past year, which is pretty good. But analytics say, you know, 27, you're going to decline a little bit. And he did decline from his 2021 season, where he had 4.7 yards per carry. And then before that, 5 yards per carry. So, and his receptions have also been down from his peaks. And he only had, you know, close to 1,200 yards. Not 1,200 yards, but close. So, Cook, the teams that are going after him, he's going to be a number two back, right? It's going to be a committee. He'll be behind Ramondre Stevenson. He'll be behind Breece Hall when Breece Hall comes back. And even so, he'll still be splitting carries with Michael Carter before he comes back. With the Bills, he'd be behind his... it depends on how his brother develops, but he'd probably be behind his own brother. And Damian Harris is also there. So you have three running backs to compete with if he goes to Buffalo. Kansas City, Isaiah Pacheco will probably take most of those carries. Plus, you got Clyde Edwards-Helaire still kind of hanging around. And Jerick McKinnon's the pass-catching guy. So you have like three running backs to mess with in that offense. So Cook wants to get paid as like a number one running back, which is what he was in Minnesota. But the teams that are pursuing him certainly aren't. And even in Miami, that's probably the closest he'd been. But Arcane is the running back from Texas A&M, has been impressive through training camp and looks like he's going to be one of the guys. You also got Mostert still back there. And I think Jeff Wilson's still on the team. So you still got, you know, you can see all these running backs. These rooms are stacked up with guys because they're on cheap contracts and they're all pretty decent. Why are they all pretty decent? Because running backs can pretty much, you know, if you're serviceable, dependable, and don't get injured a lot, you're going to get, a contract. And you don't really need that elite guy. All these teams don't need that elite guy. And that's why they're not so invested in Dalvin Cook. So Cook needs to basically lower his standards here. He needs to lower standards and kind of face reality. And that's what most running backs need to do. Because if not, they're going to end up in kind of what Austin Eckler, who's kind of the ringleader of these guys. The running backs fight for rights, right? But it's not. It's not. You chose to play the position. I know you didn't see this coming. But it's how the game went. And they're not going to go back. Because people like to watch air raid type of offenses. You know, people like to watch the ball get thrown. And as long as the viewers like to watch that type of game and the coaches like to play that type of game and players keep developing that way and running backs turn into runners more now too, which is taking carries away from you, you're just going to be disposable. And it sucks, but it is what it is. And we go to Jonathan Taylor real quick. Jonathan Taylor recently requested a trade from the Colts because the Colts didn't extend him yet. And Jim Irsay basically said that, you know, what I just said, running backs are disposable. He's not wrong. And they said, Jonathan Taylor, oh, he's your best player on offense. And the Colts aren't going to win anything this year. Let's be honest. They have a rookie quarterback that barely could clear 50% completion percentage in college that I don't believe a lot in, and it certainly isn't going to be ready for year one. Their receiver core is lacking. Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce are there, but that's about it. Then, you know, decent offensive line. The best player on offense, the real best player on offense is Quentin Nelson, but no one talks about offensive line. You know, their defense is average at best. Shaq Leonard's there. DeForest Buckner, also there. But other than that, not a lot. Isaiah Rogers, suspended for gambling and released. So there's not a lot to be desired with the Colts. And paying a running back on a rebuilding team, not the move. Especially when the back is starting to get old, was banged up last year, or still banged up. One of the big things with Jonathan Taylor right now is that there's reports that he had a back injury. He said, nah, I don't got a back injury, I'm fine. The next day, he's walking around practice, not playing because of either the extension or probably the injury, probably the back, you know, limping around, not looking very good. So I think the reports were kind of true on that. But he's got himself in a sticky situation. Not him. And I don't think this is entirely his fault. I think his agent's just a little bit of a dumbass. Jonathan Taylor's agent, basically, once Irsay said all that things, said all those things, Taylor's agent, Malki Kawa, he said that the Colts were, you know, being in bad faith with all these comments and their negotiations, and saying that basically this rift kind of is dragging them apart, and he was tweeting all this stuff against Jim Irsay on Twitter. And, you know, Jim Irsay shouldn't really be putting all this stuff out in public, I think, either. I think he's done a bad job on his part, but the agent actually responding to it, not good. Not a good look for Jonathan Taylor. Certainly not good. I think he should try to find better representation if he wants to actually, you know, get a contract. And I don't think he even will if he had a good agent, but this certainly makes it look worse because it's just a player whining his agent, who you don't want to negotiate with. So he's certainly not re-signed with the Colts. And then he requests a trade. So Taylor wants a trade now to a team that will pay him, which is, I hope, no one. If, like, I'm thinking from a GM's spot, I hope no one pays Jonathan Taylor, like, the money that he wants, which is probably like 15, 16. Because Taylor's not a pass catching back. That's a pure runner. He's a pure runner. He's the old style running back that'll just run down your throat type of running back. Which is great. Great for the Colts offense, or what used to be the Colts offense. Just great. But no team that's sane right now is in the position where they need to pay a running back like that on a long-term deal. Unless you're like, I guess the Bills, if they want to go all in. But because their contract, their roster is going to fall apart in a couple years anyways. So might as well trade a couple picks, you know, throw away the future and go all in now. That's really the only option that he has. He's not getting traded to, like, I saw the Bears as one of the teams. He's not getting traded to the Bears. Bears have a lot of cap space, yes, but they're not paying for a running back, especially when they have drafted some guys and, you know, with Roschon Johnson at Texas and also have Deontay Foreman there on cheap deals. I think they're just going to stick with them. He doesn't really have a place to go which is what makes this public spat and trade request and all this stuff kind of concerning for him, because he's going to be stuck in a place where he's had this public spat. Fans, I don't think, like him very much right now. And I doubt his team likes that he's doing it. It's just a whole mess. It's a whole mess. He's not getting an extension from the Colts. Colts said they're not going to trade him. I doubt it. They probably will trade him. I don't know where, and I don't think it's going to come very soon. It might be during the regular season when the Colts start out like 0-4, because the Colts aren't going to be good. They're going to be one of the worst teams in the league by far, especially if they start Anthony Richardson. Like, they're not going to be a good team. So having an expiring Jonathan Taylor who's not going to re-sign, just get rid of him. Just kick him. At the trade deadline, I bet he gets kicked somewhere for like a fourth round pick. Not a lot. And it's just a rental guy. Because I don't believe anybody's going to really re-sign him. I think he's going to get kicked into the free agency market, and he's just going to, you know, end up with a Miles Sanders type of deal, which was like $6 million, which is what the running back market is for guys that aren't pass catchers. It's just what it is. And he's going to have to learn that the hard way. His agent's definitely going to learn that the hard way. He's going to fire his agent after he gets that deal too. He should now fire that agent. Because I bet the Colts, you know, had a decent relationship with Jonathan Taylor up to that point. And then it turned into this. And out of pride, I don't think Taylor's going to re-sign with them. And I think out of pride, the Colts aren't going to want to negotiate with them, especially after they've put each other through this. So just bad on both sides. Just a shit show, pretty much. So that's what happened with Jonathan Taylor. And that's pretty much my view on this whole running back situation, is that it's just bad for everybody. And people just gotta learn to deal with it. That's what the NFL is today, and just gotta deal with it. And let's real quick just get into tonight's game, the Hall of Fame game. It's gonna be between the New York Jets and the Cleveland Browns. Football's finally back. I believe Kellen Mond, haven't heard that name in a while, he's on the Browns. He's going to start the game for the Browns. I think Zach Wilson's going to play for the Jets. Should be interesting to see there what's happening. But the Jets are building a pretty decent team here with Aaron Rodgers. Let's just quickly look at what they have going on here. I like their offensive line. Vera Tucker, Mekhi Becton. They got Laken Tomlinson, Connor McGovern. In the middle, that's pretty much what they need to improve, and they have. It's a decent little lineup there. Conklin at tight end, obviously, with Uzama. And they also have Ruckert from Ohio State, who should develop, I hope, for them. I don't see this Jets team really going super far, but I do see them making a run at it, at least. The running backs I like, Michael Carter, Zonovan Knight. If they add Delvin Cook and Breece Hall comes back, I mean, that's stacked four deep. Israel Abanikanda from Pitt was very good in college. I think that's a good pickup. And then Travis Dye from USC as well, if he can translate into the NFL. Good running back room. Very good running back room. I think even if they don't sign Delvin Cook, they'll probably be fine. The Jets have done a really good job here. The wide receivers are super deep too. Garrett Wilson, Mecole Hardman, who's going to give them a lot of versatility and electricity there. You know, the speed is just very, very good. What Mahomes did with Mecole Hardman, Rodgers hasn't had this help in a while, and he's going to love it. You got Randall Cobb also there, who's just kind of, you know, a walking corpse at this point of just being an Aaron Rodgers support kind of animal. Then we got Corey Davis, who is a good wide receiver, but they've misused him. Hopefully he'll be all right. And then Jason Brownlee, this guy, just heard of him yesterday, made an insane catch on fantasy, actually. He went up like 76,000 people picked him up or something on Dynasty Fantasy yesterday. I saw that just because of one catch, a little bit of a reaction, but he might be good, possibly. But this team, awesome. If they got Hopkins, imagine if they got Hopkins, this team would have been crazy. They re-signed Quinnen Williams to a huge contract, which is what they should do, right? That's what you should invest your money in, is defensive tackles. That was a very good move. Linebackers, sweet. The secondary is the best in the NFL, I think, with Sauce Gardner there, Michael Carter, DJ Reed, Ashton Davis, who I'm still a big fan of. I know some people don't like him, but I like Ashton Davis. He's a good hard hitter. Good in coverage. Pretty good. Jordan Whitehead, Adrian Amos, who they just picked up. He's a good player as well. Brandon Equals playing in corner. It's a good defense. And for my pick tonight, I'm going to have to go with the Jets. I think Zach Wilson's going to carry it. I think the secondary is pretty deep, and I think we'll lock down Kellen Mond. I don't think Mond is very, very good. And I think that overall, it should be a fun preseason game. Yeah, and just to wrap this up, I hope you guys enjoy the game tonight. Hopefully we'll be out with another episode soon. I know scouting board episodes have been lacking as of late in quantity. We wanted to get more of those out, but hopefully we'll get some more out sooner rather than later. Yeah, so guys, thank you so much for watching. I guess I will see you guys in the next one. Thank you guys so much. And you guys can follow us on Instagram at Second Take Show. You can also follow us on Twitter, which is now like X or something. You can follow us on that at Second Take Show. Also at Billy SRP on X. On Threads as well, if you want, I guess. We don't really use that, but go for it. And yeah, shout out to our Medium, our writing, which we've been putting a lot into lately, medium.com/secondtake. You can check out all my articles out there. And YouTube, Spotify, wherever you listen to this, guys, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you in the next one. Have a good football Thursday. See ya.